Put your armor on. Glad to see all of you that are here. I echo the same sentiments. We need to continue to encourage one another, and all the more so as we see the day approaching. You might want to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if you may have already guessed just from that little bit of information that we're going to talk about David. And we're going to talk about Goliath. And we're going to talk about Israel. You know, David and Goliath dates back way beyond the 4th century. And you know the story behind David and Goliath. I know you do. Or at least we know that David, he took down Goliath. And that giant, David was able to overcome him regardless of everybody around him being so terrified. You know, it's interesting that the entire army of the Israelites, all those mighty men, not one of them was up to the fight against Goliath. It was David. Little David, that ruddy little boy. And I want to look at five lessons or points from this account of David and Goliath that I hope you can take home with you. I hope you can relate to them. Understand that what happened with David and the circumstances, they can apply to almost any situation in our lives. And so when we think about this, let's go ahead and think about that first lesson, these lessons from David. Number one, faith makes you bigger than your fears. Think about that. Our faith in God makes us bigger than our fears. And I'm not sure about all of you, but I know there were times when I feared even talking to people. I was raised in a household with that echoing sound, "You're to be seen, not heard. And you have no voice and opinion in my house." And so I didn't grow up learning how to have dialogue and argument. I grew up learning how to keep my mouth shut. And when it came to the preaching of the gospel in the very beginning, that was pretty hard for me. But I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe that the power of the gospel is to salvation of people's souls. And there's nothing more powerful. And I believe that God and His Word is the real power, not me. And so I overcame by faith. You know, you notice in verse 16 of 1 Samuel here, what's taking place. The Philistines, they're drawing near, and Goliath, you know, he's presenting himself 40 days, morning and evening. Twice a day, Goliath is challenging them and egging them on to come and fight me, come and fight me. You know, I think we've all, I don't know about the ladies. I don't know that the ladies would have experienced this, but I think all the men here are at least were witness to people, bullies in school or big guys, or come on, fight. Twice a day for 40 days, he's up there just pacing back and forth. And it's interesting because when you think about what's going on, when David heard about all this, David wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. His faith was bigger than his fear. He didn't look at Goliath like they did. He didn't look at Goliath and stand in fear. All the Israelites were terrified. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Right? We got one guy, Goliath, and the other Philistines. And then you got a huge army of the Lord. And they're terrified. They were dismayed and they were terrified. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. And you think about David, when he heard about this man who is so powerful, and in verse 25, look at verse 25 there. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Wish they had a big guy out there right now. I'd love to be exempt from taxes. But, you know, you think about that. David heard this. The man who kills him. All these great things are going to happen. And so he accepted the challenge. He accepted the challenge without hesitation. Even though his brothers were very angry, you know, the bottom line, what David said is there not a cause? You know, we think about our own lives and we apply this to ourselves, and we need to think about the church. Is there not a cause? Aren't we really contending earnestly, fighting for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints? Is there not a cause? Are there not lost souls out there for us today to go and battle against the devil and his influence and all the darknesses of this world? Is there not a cause? I say certainly, certainly there is. When we turn and look at the New Testament, you know, we think about this. Preach on the housetops, Jesus said. Preach on the housetops. He says, whatever I tell you in the dark, you speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, you preach on the housetops. And you think about this. You preach on the housetops. When Jesus, we know that from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus talking about us being the light of the world. We're the light of the world. And Jesus says, you're in the darkness, right? Whatever I tell you in the dark, we're in the world, we're in the darkness. Whatever I tell you in the dark, you speak it in the light. You're the light of the world. And it's so powerful because he says, and whatever you hear in the ear, you go up and preach it on the housetop. Shout it out to everybody. Jesus Christ is King. Salvation is in no other name under heaven and earth. Preach it. You know, we're in the world. The world's full of darkness. And this darkness is not a reference to a physical light or dark, like the sun going down in the evening. We're talking about a darkness from the souls of men. You're the light of the world. Get up on that housetop and shout it out. Proclaim Jesus. That's that New Testament application. You know, the New Testament teaches us that, my friends, he said, do not be afraid of who can kill the body. David was not afraid that Goliath might kill him. That's never even mentioned in the text. The Israelites were afraid. Saul was afraid. David was not afraid. Jesus tells us the same kind of thing. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, because after that, what more can they do to you? And it's not really funny, but it's exciting, because after that, what more can they do to you? Because you're going to be in paradise awaiting for the return of the Lord. You've served Him. So, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. The writer of Hebrews in 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. For God has not given us the power, the spirit of fear, but He's given us the power of love and of sound mind, not of fear. And so, we need to be receiving the idea or understanding the idea that we are part of a kingdom. A kingdom that can't be shaken. Why can the kingdom not be shaken? Well, first of all, because we have God's grace. Secondly, because we serve God acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear, and because Jesus is the rock. That's the rock that we stand upon. Remember Peter's confession and what Jesus said, that upon this rock, that profession of faith, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And whoever hears these words of mine and does them, you're standing on a rock. Let them rains come. Let those floods come. Let that wind blow. You're standing on a rock and you're not going anywhere. That's what David would have told us. David didn't fear because his faith was bigger than his fears. Remember the text when David confronted Goliath? What did Goliath have? He had that big helmet. He had coat of mail, the coat of armor. His legs were covered with armor. He had a javelin. He had a shield bearer who went before him. Think about that. Verses 5 through 7. Not one mention of David having such things. Not that he used. What David has was 5 smooth stones and a shepherd's bag and a sling in verse 4. That's all he had. That's all he wanted. That's all he needed. But when you think about all that's going on, that didn't stop David worrying about the size of Goliath. I mean, there's a big difference in size there. But the fact is that because of his faith, the size didn't matter. Whatever comes your way, no matter how big it seems, no matter how powerful it seems or overpowering, size doesn't matter when you're a Christian. It just simply doesn't matter. Because that size difference didn't stop David. You look at verses 43 through 48, you know, what does the Scripture say? It didn't stop David. Verse 43, so the Philistine said to David, that's Goliath, by the way, I am a dog that you come to me with sticks, and a Philistine. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds and to the air, the beasts of the field. I'd be shaking in my boots, you think? Not David. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He didn't say, this day I'm going to deliver you into somebody's hand. This day the Lord is going to, that's his faith. The Lord's going to deliver you. And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save without the sword, with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. You see that? So it was when the Philistine arose and came down, drew near to meet David, and David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put out his hand into his bag, and he took a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. You know, the point here is it didn't stop David. The size of Goliath, that sheer, immense, powerful man, had no fear from David. And as you think about that, the Israelites' faith, their faith failed. David's faith was bigger than his fears. their fears were bigger than their faith. Because of what David believed and the trust that he had in the Lord, Goliath fell on his face to the ground. And he had triumph. So the question is, are you faithful? The question is your faith big? Like David's faith. It can be very easily if it's not. And I trust that for the most part it is. You know, do you run from your fears or do you run to your fears? If your faith leads to fear in anyone or anything, then spend time meditating and thinking about this true account of David and Goliath and how David and the New Testament agree. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for enslavement of fear. You know, you think about the Scriptures. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's just a single thought here about fear. Fear properly placed is awesome. Fear properly faced. You know, Pharaoh gave commandments in Exodus chapter 1 to kill Moses. Actually, to kill all those male children, but Moses was one of them. And Pharaoh, he gave a command to kill them. But when you look at what took place in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 21, you see that they didn't kill Moses because they feared God more than Pharaoh. Properly placed fear is a good thing. They feared God more than Pharaoh, and as a result, God provided them households. So God's always looking out for people who fear Him more than anything. When God spoke from the mountain there, and the people were down there, and they saw the lightning, and they heard the thunderings, and they saw that smoke coming from the mountain, and they heard the trumpet, the sounds of the trumpet, and the Scripture tells us that they tremble. They tremble. But they came and they told Moses, they said, "You speak with us and we'll listen. But don't let God speak to us, because if He does, we'll die." It isn't that they didn't want to hear God, but He was so powerful that their fear in God is what protected them. And Moses went out and he told them that don't fear, for God has come to test you. He's coming to test you, that the fear of Him would go before you so that you don't sin. So fear properly placed is a really, really good thing. You see how properly placed fear actually saved Moses, who came and delivered by the hand of God the people of Israel. They were certainly blessed. My grandson Anderson, he's always coming to me, and you know, whatever kind of fooling around we do, playing, just goofing and just having fun, grandpa and grandson, but he's always coming to me and he's always asking me this one: "Grandpa, do you know what my favorite scripture is? What's my favorite Bible verse, Grandpa?" And of course, I know it by heart because he's asked me so many times. His favorite verse is Ecclesiastes 12:13. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." He loves that verse. That verse is going to go before him as he grows older. Secondly, size doesn't make any difference in the outcome. It really doesn't matter. In life, we're bound to come across big challenges. We're bound to come across small challenges. We're bound to come across enormous challenges. But when God goes before us and we keep our eyes upon things from above, we'll be all right. because that's what David did. The size of the challenge, the problem, it was irrelevant. None of those things really matter. Why? Because size doesn't matter. Because all things are possible with your faith. And the only thing that determines what is possible for you is your faith. Your faith in God. Your faith in His Word. David didn't worry about the size of Goliath. He didn't even consider his size. You notice what David did there when Goliath came onto the scene? David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Verse 48. He ran towards him. You know he saw how big Goliath was. But he ran towards him. Now when you think about in verse 24, the difference between David and Israel, they ran away. David had courage to take on Goliath, especially with just five little stones in a sling. But in verse 47, it tells us why. In verse 4, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. In the New Testament, you know, they were fleeing, David's running, and the battle is the Lord's. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul wrote, more than conquerors, nothing to fear, right? And He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote. I think David would have certainly agreed with those statements. You think about this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is our victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Yeah, we need to be like David. We need to know God. And we need to be able to size up the challenge, the problem, the obstacle, and realize that it's irrelevant when God is on your side. David knew his God was big. Psalm 145, David wrote, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and mighty in power, as His understanding is infinite. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you know, let's just read that. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, Don and Ruth. Went way too far back. 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's prayer. Listen to this prayer. I love this. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies. Was David smiling? I think. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Yeah, God is big. Size didn't make a difference to the outcome. It's the heart, the courage, it's the commitment that matters, of course, and the final thing that overcomes everything is the faith in God who's bigger than any of us. So we don't worry about size. Don't worry about how big the problem might be. It can be dealt with. And you can apply these simple principles to the same level of thinking in your life, the challenges, things that you face. The bigger the challenge, the bigger our God. Think about that. The bigger the challenge, the bigger our God. The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the act is that God will bring forth to overcome that obstacle. Have confidence. Conviction. Greatness is in the Lord who is on our side. If you feel the challenge is too big, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you, 1 Peter 5 and 7. If you think the challenge is too big, remember God. With God, we're never stronger than we are when we're weak. That's what Paul said. Think about that. Whenever the weaker we are, the stronger we are because God is on our side. Because God is strong. And when we become weak and we're feeble and we can't hold ourselves up, we're upheld by the hands of God. God is the strength. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Let Him direct your steps. He's God. And we're not. Third, make use of what you already have. Too many people in this world, they don't make use of what they have. My son and my two sons were at the house here a few months back, and they were changing an oil filter in a car, and they didn't have the right tool, and then they kept going back and forth to the store trying to buy the right tool. And finally, when they left to go to buy another tool, and I got under the car and I looked at that oil filter and I grabbed a couple pieces of stick and some other things and I made shims to fit in the oil filter, the wrench that I did have, and I got that filter off real easy. It took me 10 seconds. I'm not kidding. When they got back, the filter was laying. Dad, how'd you get that off? I used what I had. God gives us things. We need to use what we have. Too many people spend so much time complaining about what they don't have, and then that this problem's over, unsurmountable because of I don't have the right stuff. God promised what we needed, we would have. You know, people say, I need this thing before I can get started on this project, which leads us to never get started. Right? The saying is, never say that you'll do something tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. You know, why is not having something holding us back? Why do we say that we can't do this or that because I don't have money, I don't have time, I don't have the right resources or the right tools? Just get started. Be amazed what you can do with what you have. And the truth is that you have to make use of what you do have in order to get started. You have a mind. You have a heart. Spiritually, we have the Word of God. Read it. Read it. Read it. You know, notice in verse 39 of Samuel 17. In verse 39, it's really interesting here. David fastened Saul's giving David this stuff. You know, we can go back in verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet and on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail, just like Goliath. And David, he's trying to equalize things here. And David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk. And for he hadn't tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And what did he do? He took his staff. He got five smooth stones, put them in his shepherd bag, which he had, and his sling, which he had, and he went out to fight Goliath. Just use what you have. You know, David turned down the offer of all the weapons. He just stuck with what he had. He still defeated Goliath. Even though there was a difference in weight and size and armament, didn't matter. David didn't moan and complain because he you know, I'm going to go fight Goliath, but David had that "so what" attitude. So what if I can't carry the sword? So what if this helmet doesn't fit me? So what if this coat of mail is too heavy? So what? Whatever I have, the Lord can use. Whatever I have. So what? Nothing but a sling. Faith. The battle is the Lord's. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge to us. Psalm 62 and 8. Isaiah 31, the folly of not trusting God. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. When we say "I can't," what we're really saying is God can't. The Scripture says with man nothing's possible, with God all things are possible, but also says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So remember also that we don't need anything special. You don't need to have some special talent or some special gift or some special power or some special ability to memorize Scripture to tell somebody about Jesus. Because the power is in the Word. The power is in the Word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because the power is in the Word. Paul said the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You want to start something? Go ahead and start it. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Number four, believe that it's possible. The Israelites didn't believe it was possible to defeat Goliath. That's why they feared him. Had they feared God and understood God after all this time, they would not have feared Goliath. So how do you rate their faith? Their faith on a scale from 1 to 10. Where would you place their faith? Maybe over here on 3? I don't think so. I think that if we were going to place their faith, it would be over here on 0. And the question is, where's your faith? You know, Israel didn't believe. Because they did not believe in God, the psalmist said, and they did not trust in His salvation. That's where all the trouble comes from. They didn't believe. And Daniel was saved from the den of lions. Why? Because he believed. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. He was in there. They're taking him out. So it was found on him because he believed in God. Daniel's belief was strong. It was strong belief. He believed and therefore he succeeded. You know, fear is stronger than your belief or your faith, then you're like shooting yourself in the foot. And you kind of fail before you even get going. You have to believe that God is greater than anything. There's no fear, there's no obstacle, there's no Goliath in your life that should be able to stop you when God is on your side. Finally, and let's not forget the power of faith, especially when it comes to salvation of souls, the power of God, right? That's that word that we preach, the gospel. So, point five, don't underestimate what you can do when God is on your side. It's always dangerous to underestimate God, and it's always dangerous to underestimate yourself in God. And when you underestimate yourself and your own capabilities, end up achieving less. When you underestimate yourself and your own capabilities, you end up achieving less. It's quite the opposite when you trust God. You know, judging how Goliath looks and appears and how he compares to David, you think that Goliath was certainly the superior one. You know, I wonder all those people on both sides, how many of them were betting on Goliath? There's no way he could lose. Look at the size of that guy. But you don't. David didn't underestimate his abilities. He didn't overestimate his abilities. He didn't rely on his abilities. He relied on the power of God. David relied on the power of God. The victory was God's, not David's. You know, Paul says that we shouldn't compare ourselves with ourselves. And that's what the Israelites were doing, comparing men with men, the power of men with the power against the power of men. And David was comparing the power of men against the power of God. And he wasn't underestimating the power of God. Think about Gamaliel's advice. In Acts chapter 5, verse 39, he gave some really good advice there. Gamaliel says that if this is from God, we can't do anything. We can't fight against it. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 21 and in verse 30, Solomon said, "There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord." The bottom line here is that it doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to have the words King David in front of your name. You don't have to be Solomon. You don't have to be Peter or Paul. You just have to be you, because God is no respecter of persons. In Acts 10 and 34, speaking of the house of Cornelius, Peter opened his mouth and he says, "I perceive in truth that God shows no partiality." If anything, you know, we need to be overestimating, because we have God on our side. And God will lead us to victory. And it doesn't matter who you are. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul simply said, "There is no partiality with God." You know, David, he's done so many great things in the Bible, and he's done some pretty bad things. And when you think about David and all that he's done, and how he wasn't able to build the temple because of the blood that was shed, and he had sinned against God, but he was a man after God's own heart. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you think about David and you think about the power of God over the centuries and everything that God has provided for mankind, and that His hand is what actually keeps all of us together, this whole world, everything in the world. One day He's going to remove that hand, and we need to be ready. You know, we have a song, if you look at this song, number 800, about the great physician. Now is near. The sympathizing Jesus. Don't wait till it's too late, everlastingly too late. If you have some manner of sin in your life, then it's something you want to deal with now. You don't want to meet the Lord in your sins. And so repent, change of heart. You have a need this night? If you do, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.